So now that you understand the process of how to analyze songs intervallically, it's time to make sure we have all 12 intervals. So we're going to do the remaining 5 intervals that we didn't cover in part 1. Namely, the minor 2nd, all right, is the first one. Minor 3rd, the flat 5, or the sharp 4, same thing. The minor 6th, and the minor 7th, okay? So let's go with the minor 2nd first. I also call it the flat 2, you know, either way, same thing. The flat 2 is the name of the note, and the minor 2nd describes the interval between the tonic, do, or 1, and the flat 2, okay? So I may use these terms interchangeably sometimes, but the minor 2nd is the name of the interval, and the flat 2 is the actual name of the note. So the most famous example of this one, it would be like in the movie Jaws. You know, you hear like, or I don't know what key it's in. Let's see, it's in, you know, something about that. It's just, it sounds pretty sinister, you know, and dangerous. So this is a very sort of dark, you know, interval and everything. And it's the smallest interval we have. It's the interval of one fret on the guitar. And if you play ascending minor seconds, you have what's called the chromatic scale. If you ever hear me use, or anyone use the word chromatic, it doesn't have to do with, you know, chrome or any kind of magnet or anything like that. It just simply means the notes in all the notes up by half steps. That would be called the chromatic scale, of which there are 12. All right. So, and then by the time you finish this interval training, you'll have memorized all the intervals in the chromatic scale, if you will. Okay. Anyway, going back to Jaws, you know, if you analyze, let's do it in a key where we can sing. That key is too low for me. Or, I'll sing it an octave up. It's, if you compare it to a major scale, do, re, mi, it's just flat from re. Do, re, so one flat, two, one flat, two. I better not keep doing that or I'll have to make a run for it. That's the most famous example of the flat 2. In my opinion, the most famous guitar example of the next interval, the minor 3rd, is Smoke on the Water. You've all heard it and many of you have played it. So the distance between and okay. Now I'm playing 2 notes there, but if I just stick to the tonic, okay, then that distance is a minor 3rd. So again, it's just south of the major 3rd. Do, re, mi, do, re, mi, you know, and then they come up with a minor 3rd. Let me talk a little more about the 3rd. The 3rd is what makes a chord minor or major. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. See, the luxury of the commuter audio is that you're a captive audience and I can digress all I want, but this is an important point, so as long as we're here. The difference between a major chord and a minor chord is the 3rd, right? When you take a C chord, if you do C, E, and G on the piano, then that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're putting a 1, 3, and 5 of the chord together, and that makes a major triad. On guitar, the notes aren't always in the order of 1, 3, and 5. But if you take a C chord on the guitar, starting at the 5th string, 3rd fret, that is C, so that's 1. And then the next note is 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is 1, 3, and 5. But as you know, you're playing a 5 string chord there, so what's the next? What's that second string first fret note? Is that a 1, 3, or a 5? Or is it something different? Well, if it was something different, it would no longer be called a C chord. It would be C, and then whatever other description would fit that extra note or notes. Okay? So since we know that this five string chord is only called a C chord, we know it has the remaining two strings have to repeat either the first, third, or fifth. So maybe I'll leave it to you. The first three strings of a C chord from lowest to highest, that is string 5, 4, and 3, is a 1, 3, 5, if that's not too much numbers for you. So the question is, what is that? Is that a 1, or 3, or a 5? I'll leave it up to you. And then finally, the top string, what is that? Is that a 1, 3, or a 5? So you might even, another assignment when you're at home is to, not assignment so much as an idea, is to analyze chords, the numbers of chords. You know, let me just do one example and you can see what I mean. Like in the key of E, if I play an E major chord, okay, then the intervals are from bottom to top, namely sixth string to first string, it goes 1, 5, 1, 5, 1, 3, 5, 1. And if you are not sure why, then use your ear training to. So the spelling of that chord would be, usually you spell from the top down. When you're doing analysis of music, the melody comes first and then we go from the top down. In this case, I'm going from the bottom up. But either way. So going back to our definition of major versus minor. If you take the third of an E chord, played by the first finger on the third string, first fret, of course, and you lower it by half a step or one fret, namely, take the finger off in this case, now you got an E minor chord. If you're a beginner, or anywhere level, ever wonder why when you're first learning the guitar, I show you C, but I don't show you C minor? And it's because the fingering for lowering that third note, first of all, there's two thirds. I gave the punchline, part of the punchline away that I was referring to just a minute ago about how to spell the rest of the C major chord, but not all the punchline. So the fingering, first of all, there's two thirds in that chord, and you would have to lower both of them, and then the fingering to do so is not easy, and so you're better off just switching to a bar chord. So that's why a beginner doesn't learn C minor chord, because it's not convenient to make that chord into a minor. This is maybe too much fretboard theory for some of you, but whereas you go, when you go to an E chord, you can easily take that da-na-na, the third of the chord played on the third string, first fret by the first finger, and lower it by half step to create a minor third, and there's your E minor. Another example would be like a D chord. If you do D, the top string is at the second fret, and there's our Do, Re, Mi, there's our third. We take that down a half step, we gotta rearrange our fingers a little bit, but now it's a very dark sounding, the saddest of all keys, D minor. That's from Spinal Tap. Anyway, the major chord sounds bright, happy, peppy, whatever you want to call it, and the minor chord sounds dark, somber, or serious, okay? And both are integral parts of music. You know, you might just, as your ear expands, you know, at the very least, analyze, well, is this song on the radio on in a major or a minor key? Is this particular section of this particular song in a major or a minor key? It's possible that a song could be in a major key and then the bridge is minor, or vice versa. Or, you know, the verse is in a minor key and the chorus is in a major key, or whatever. So, but be listening for it. And so that gives you a clue. The difference in a major and minor third is integral to understanding a lot of the way harmony works on the guitar, or on any instrument, rather. So going back about the Smoke on the Water, if I have a G chord and I sing, if you hear this chord and you're wondering whether it has a major or minor third, well, try the major third first. Obla-di. That's our song for the major third, is Obla-di, right? From volume 1 that we did in this ear training course. Obla-di. And yes, it fits perfectly. If it was smoke on the water. Dun, 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 dun. Then that third would have to be lowered. Dun, dun, dun. And that fits just perfectly, those first two notes of our Smoke on the Water. That's indeed a G minor chord. Does this make sense? So this is how you can help determine whether a chord is major or minor, in addition to just saying to yourself, well, does it sound happy or sad, or, you know, serious or bright, you know? Very important interval, the minor third. A lot of blues songs and things will have this interval. A lot of minor songs will have that. When we get to the interval of the perfect fifth, I'm sorry, the flat fifth, it sounds very sort of sinister. In fact, in the Middle Ages, it was known as the devil's interval, and it was banned by the church. So if you composed music that used the flat five or the sharp four, which means the same thing, you would have been excommunicated. Fast forward to sort of 1970s, or I think it was 70s, you know, the first Black Sabbath record, you know, had the opening song, it was actually octave, and then it had that very sinister type of sound. But that's actually not the example I'm going to give you, because some of you may not be familiar with Black Sabbath. But if you ever are curious about it, click on Black Sabbath, and the very first song there has that. But a much more modern day recognizable interval for that would be The Simpsons. You know, The Simpsons. So the distance between The Simpsons, or I don't know what key that song is in. The Simpsons, you know. So if you had to place that, and it's cool that they resolved it to a perfect fifth, because it right away, within three notes, it gives you a sense of something that's slightly off kilter, but also, you know, funny and not overly, you know, ominous. You know, kind of summarizes Bart Simpson's character, you know, just in three notes, if you will. The Simpsons. So how do you compare that to the rest of the scale? Well, if you take Star Wars, and it's just down from that, so we call it the flat five. On the other hand, you could call it the sharp four. If you take Here Comes the Bride, Here Comes the Bride, right? That'd be a sinister way of having a wedding. Right? Anyway, maybe some weddings are like that. I don't know. The Simpsons, there's your flat five intro. And another very famous example, now that I think of it, is Maria. Na-na-na-na with Maria. It's from West Side Story, Maria. That might have been one of the first examples in the 20th century of, you know, never mind 1970s Black Sabbath, but that goes back much earlier than that. The West Side Story was one of the first popular songs that not only had the interval of a flat five, but started off right with it. You know, so listen to Maria from West Side Story. Great song. We're going to move on to the flat sixth.